You found Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two, Primetime Action live from the South Point. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin. Glad you could hang with us tonight. Still recovering from the greatest football weekend there ever was, the Division Round 2022. Let's bring in Reed Fowler from DraftKings. He analyzes not only golf, we'll get to golf, but also the NFL for DraftKings. You can follow him on Twitter at Reed T. Fowler. That's R-E-I-D T. Fowler. How you doing, Reed?
Good, Gil. Yeah, that last weekend was crazy. I think a lot of us were on Green Bay, but that's not the one that everyone that's, you know, is talking about. Everyone talks about the overtime rules. And I think Josh Allen put it very well, is that if Buffalo won that toss, then they'd be the one celebrating. And I think the collective fan would also be celebrating as well.
Yeah. I was saying yesterday, I was like, you know, I didn't hate the overtime rules as much as other people did. But that game, I finally hated it for the first time because I was just like, this is what a terrible way to end this masterpiece, because you knew whoever won it was winning. Whoever won the coin toss was winning the game, and that's what happened. Okay, because we want to get to golf. Let's get your thoughts on the championship games. Let's start with the NFC, or let's start with the AFC, the one that's the bigger spread. Chiefs favored by 7 over the Bengals. Do you give the Bengals a puncher's chance here?
I don't. And the reason being is that first matchup that we saw, maybe what was it, a month and a half ago or a month ago? I forget exactly what time. You saw the Chiefs pretty dominant, you know, all the way in that first half. And then towards the second half, you kind of saw them falter a little bit. Ja'Marr Chase was amazing in that game. Some weird calls, right, by the officiating, which has sort of been the theme throughout the entire year. But the Chiefs looked like the stronger team in that matchup. And when Cincinnati cannot stop the pass rush against to protect Burrow, Kansas City Chiefs, even though they're not known for that, can definitely take that and use it to their advantage. So I'm giving Kansas City the lean here, even at 7. Wanted to get 6.5, but don't mind taking it at 7.
So let's look at the NFC side of things here. Actually, let's go back to that AFC one real quick and talk about the total at 54.5. Yeah. Do you see this kind of becoming a game kind of like we saw last week, where they're kind of going back and forth and trading punches? Or do you think that this one's a little bit more controlled by the Chiefs?
I think it's a little bit more controlled, Matt. And again, if you take a look too at Cincinnati, they're going to want to establish a run, right? They're going to want to establish a run. We've seen Zach Taylor kind of do negative EV plays when it comes to that kind of stuff, where he just leans on the run more than he should. He's getting better, but I think this is too much baked into what we saw last week, what we saw the last time these two teams met. And really, like I mentioned, Kansas City was really playing better. And that's kind of where they turned around a little bit of their defense as well. So I'm leaning towards the under in this one.
Chiefs led that first game against the Bengals by 14 points, not once, not twice, but three different times in that game. And then Ja'Marr Chase caught every 50-50 ball there was. It was amazing. 266 yards receiving. Ugh. The NFC game. Everyone here in this studio is sitting on some Rams futures. Should we play the Niners plus the points? Is that how we should play it?
You can. And the reason being, and make it 4 for 4, because I got Rams futures all the way back in September, where I got them at 15-1 to win the Super Bowl. So I'm with you guys as well. But if you look at the 49ers, what have they done well, Gil? They've done a few things pretty well. They've mitigated Aaron Donald's domination of any game and pass rush. What they've done well is they've attacked the middle against the 49ers. And that's really what you have to do. And the 49ers don't blitz. Whenever you blitz Matt Stafford, he is amazing against it. And the 49ers, they don't against Stafford. They don't against the Rams. So I don't think it's a bad play at all. I think the Rams are a better team. You're essentially saying Jimmy Garoppolo's got to beat the Rams, right? And that's a little bit of a tough ask, but Deebo Samuel is an all-around guy. I just have so much faith in what Shanahan wants to do against this team. I know it's hard to beat a team three times in a row, but I like the Rams getting the points. The 49ers getting the points. It's a hedge.
Do you think, though, as with, you know, when this is all said and done, you have a lean to the Chiefs, you have a lean to the Rams with that as well. If we end up Chiefs Rams when this thing is all said and done, how do you see that Super Bowl kind of matching up?
Boy, it's hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes right now, what he's able to do. And you kind of heard Travis Kelce as well towards the end, right, saying that we're kind of just playing backyard ball. If that's the case, right, and you can't really predict, and there's nothing on tape to really guard against these guys. And Byron Pringle looks like someone who's really coming into shape. I know it's weird to say, but we've seen these third receivers, fourth receivers now be factors in these type of games. When you have that type of offense, even though their defense is suspect at best, I find it hard to believe that Patrick Mahomes is not going to win another Super Bowl, even though all of us here want it to be the other way around.
All right, Reed, let's talk some golf. Torrey Pines, Farmers Insurance, big names on the board for this one, participating. We start with the question we always start with golf tournaments, the profile you are looking for to bet on here.
Yeah, if his name is Tony Finau, that's the profile. No, I think, you know, all joking aside, right, you kind of want a guy who can get it out there quite a bit. This is a long course. It's played across two courses, right, the South and North course. We saw the South last year host the U.S. Open, but three rounds be played on the South, right? It's the host, and that's the behemoth. It's over 7,700 yards. There's, I think, par fours, over 450 yards. You're going to want someone who can really lean on their driver. And you're going to want someone who's played well on traditional style tee to green courses. You think of Colonial, you think of the majors, right? Those are the kind of courses that we think of Riviera, right? Genesis. That's the type of player that you want to see some form coming into it. And some players who actually have gotten, you know, we see Dustin Johnson will be his first tournament of the season. You want to see some form coming into this and some success here at Farmers previously. And I know I joked at the top there with Tony Finau, but if there is one place to bet him and have confidence, and I'll use air quotes on that, in Tony, it's here, because he's amazing here. His worst finish is 24th, and that was on his debut at this course. And he's rattled a couple of runner-up finishes. And so at 25, if you can get him at 25 and shop it around, it's probably going to stay there. That's the guy I like at the top, along with Bill Zalatoris.
Reed, people hear long course, they obviously are going to gravitate towards the name Bryson DeChambeau. He didn't come up for me. There just wasn't enough for me to get there. How are you treating Bryson this week?
Look, on DraftKings, I just tweeted this out. He's leading in terms of percent bet, percent handle on DraftKings right now. And maybe it's because of his number, Matt. And if you take a look at that area of the board, right, you have him, DJ, you have Spieth around there, Brooks. They're all around that number. And it might be like these guys are proven winners, major winners, right, including Bryson, the U.S. Open. That's kind of what you want at this type of course. But I'm with you, right? Even though Bryson's a guy that obviously we like here at DraftKings, you take a look at what he's done so far at this course. It hasn't been great. He hasn't been here in a while, but he just doesn't have really good experience here. And there's guys that I like a little bit deeper on the board over Bryson.
Who are some of those guys?
Yeah, I think, like I mentioned, Will Zalatoris at 30-1. I think that's a fine play. If you look at what he's done in his, you know, in his when he's played and he stays starts, when it's come to these traditional style courses, he's played extremely well. He hasn't won yet, but he's someone that I really like. And Matt Wolf, right? We always talk about Matt Wolf when total driving, when distance and accuracy off the tee is there. When he was playing well, that was a thing that he did extremely well. And if you take a look at his odds at the U.S. Open last year here, it was 33-1. Now you're getting him at some places 50, 55, even 60-1. And even though he didn't play well last week, you take a look at his fall series, and he played extremely well. He's a guy that can definitely lean on that driver. He has good feelings, good vibes here. I think you got to give a nod to Matt Wolf. And then even deeper, Cam Davis. Cam Davis, the big Australian guy. He's had two really good finishes in Hawaii, played well here. He led the field, guys, in strokes gained tee to green last year, but was sixth worst in putting. He just could not make a putt, but he led the field in the major statistic of strokes gained tee to green. You can get him at 90, 95 in some places. So I like Cam Davis as well.
How are you handling Jordan Spieth this week?
I mean, look, like I said, he's a guy who could easily win, right? Because he's a proven winner, a major winner. When you take a look at this course, he hasn't necessarily put everything together, and I just haven't seen him yet. I want to see some form before I bet a guy like Jordan Spieth at 40-1. And there's someone there, which might not be rational, Matt, at 45-1 in Matt McNealy, that I like a lot more. But again, you talk about Jordan Spieth. He is a proven major winner, and that's what you need at these type of courses. But if you look at the average odds over the past 5 years of winners, they've been around 30-1, 35-1. So if you like that statistic and you like that trend, Jordan Spieth fits that, just not for me.
Did you sort of play it close to the vest the first couple of weeks of the tour and are opening it up here, or how did that work out for you?
In terms of Jordan Spieth?
No, in terms of just your breadth of bets.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, American Express, I kind of went willy-nilly. And Hawaii, that's sort of my backyard. So I went pretty heavy in those two. But this is the first one, too, that you really see the strength of the field, right, really pop up. And I would say, like, the first few tournaments you want to bet longer shots, especially at the American Express, you're not too worried. And John Rahm did us a favor last week, where he allowed a lot of guys to drift or be deeper on the board because a guy like John Rahm and Patrick Cantlay had so much win equity at the top. In these type of tournaments, though, you kind of want to play it a little bit heavier at the top because the top guys usually win. So that's how I sort of, you know, in terms of my betting strategy for the first few tournaments, really lay out long shots early. But then when we get here and in California, it's a little bit of the guys at the top.
Golf season in full swing now. Reed, Hawaii is his backyard. Reed Fowler. Appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. Take care.
Reed Fowler, at Reed T. Fowler on the Twitter machine, covers golf and football, the NFL, for DraftKings.
I'm interested in what Kelly, whenever we talk about this here in about 45 minutes, what spit out for him. I actually, weirdly, didn't come up with as much conviction as I thought I was going to.
I was
going to
say, you don't sound as excited.
Well, my card is smaller than I thought it would be. There was, as far as like what I liked and then what the prices were that I found, there wasn't anything that really, really kind of jumped out to me.
Not huge outrights for me this week. Mm-hmm. A lot of kind of the derivative markets.
I played more of
finishing positions.
Well.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you on that. I will say this much, Gil, because you pointed this out last week. Our models were very different the past 2 weeks. Matt and I's looked very similar this week.
Oh, they do. All right. Oh, yeah. I was wondering when they would sort of coalesce like that. Because usually you guys are pretty similar on stuff. That was sort of outlier the last couple of weeks. We'll come back with some football props, including most rushing yards, most receiving yards here this championship weekend. It's VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. It's a new feature that gives you insights on where the money and bets are moving for every game. You'll be able to see where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. Data's available for money line, over, under, and against the spread bets. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Kelly with the update.
Yeah, starting the NBA, we got a few games at the half, a few games in the second quarter. We've got the Nuggets on top of the Pistons, 69-59 at the half. Nuggets, 11.5-point live favorite, 234.5, the live total. Raptors up on the Hornets, 76-61 without Fred VanVleet tonight. Raptors looking good. Live numbers there. Raptors 10.5 and 246.5. How about this one?
Oh my God, I'm seeing it as you're about to say
Gil's it. Washington Wizards lead at the half, 66-36 over the LA Clippers.
Way to show up, Clip Show.
Wizards are 25.5-point live favorites. 213.5 the live total, if you're interested in hopping in on that one. Also at the half, we have the Pelicans on top of the Sixers, 58-50. Sixers still live betting favorites, laying 2.5 and 216.5. And then the big game of the night over on TNT, we have the Lakers on top of the Nets, 47-39. Lakers laying 7.5 live, 226.5 the total. Celtics all over the Kings, 46-23. That's another ugly game. 6.5 minutes left to go in the second quarter. Celtics laying 23.5 right now live, 208.5 the live total. And early in the first quarter, the Rockets are on top of the Spurs, 12-10. 7 minutes still left to go in the first. The Spurs, 3.5-point live favorites, 232.5. The live total over on the ice. We've got a few games in action. Senators on top of the Sabres, 3-0. 13 minutes left in the second period. No live numbers currently up on that game. Stars up on the Devils, 4-0. 11 minutes left in the second period. The Hurricanes have a 2-0 lead over the Golden Knights, 11 minutes left in the second period. Hurricanes, minus 1,800 live. You can get 7-1 on Vegas if you wanted to hop in. 5.5 the live total.
Tough back-to-back for the Golden Knights, but back-to-back. East Coast road trip. four games in a row on the road trip.
Well, it's pretty good.
They got done last night, shutout. First shutout of the season for the Golden Knights.
Is that true?
Oh, they won last night. I think that was a shutout. I'm pretty sure.
I was actually about to be impressed.
No, it was a shutout. I'm pretty sure. I think it was their first of the season.
This has been your Hockey Minute.
Wow. Yes. Hockey Minute with Matt Brown. All right, there you go. Coyotes up on the Penguins 1-0. 8.5 minutes left to go in the second period. Let's see. Live numbers on that game are off the board currently. The Islanders and Flyers 2-2, end of one. Islanders -135. Flyers +105. 7.5, your live total. And the Panthers with an early lead over the Jets 1-0. 14 minutes left in the first period. College basketball. We got a few top 25 games going. Villanova up on top of DePaul 40-28. 14 minutes left to go in that game. Villanova. I'm not going to trust this live number. Illinois on top of Michigan State, 42-27. 15 minutes left to go in that one. Duke on top of Clemson, 50-46. 15 minutes left in that one. And Baylor out to an early lead over Kansas State, 15-6. 11:49 left in the first half of that game. Baylor, a 12.5-point live favorite, 136.5, your live total.
UConn, Georgetown tonight. 30 years ago, that would have been a thing, but it's not tonight, apparently. Georgetown, 15-point dogs.
UConn's ranked,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. Georgetown, not quite. Yeah, that game is about to start as well. Can I kill a future segment, Kelly? Not later on the show tonight, but probably later this week?
Sure.
All right. Super Bowl MVP, which is available to bet on now. Obviously, we don't know the two teams that are ultimately in there.
Oh, yeah, I was going to put that in this week. You're good. Oh. Yeah. Oh, okay. Go down. Right, yeah.
I actually think it's interesting this year, because of the four remaining teams, and we threw this around a little bit this morning, you have, with the Kansas City Chiefs, you have, in addition to Patrick Mahomes, you obviously have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. For the Bengals, in addition to quarterback Joe Burrow, you have the presumptive rookie of the year in Ja'Marr Chase. In the Rams, in addition to quarterback Matthew Stafford, you have the presumptive offensive player of the year in Cooper Kupp. And in the case of the Niners, you have the fourth power-ranked quarterback of the bunch who has the great Deebo Samuel along with George Kittle as his teammates. So I do think that this is an interesting year in that you can make a case for all four teams that there are big enough names besides the quarterback that they might merit some consideration if you want to bet this ahead of time. Hill and Kelce, both 20-1 of the people we named. Cooper Kupp is 8-1. Ja'Marr 35-1, and Deebo 16-1 now, by the way, at DraftKings, where George Kittle's 40-1. So just an interesting look this year to this, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would for me, obviously, like I wouldn't bet a Ram, because the Rams win the Super Bowl, I'm gonna be perfectly happy. Like, anyway, so I wouldn't bet a Ram or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, like, I think it's super interesting to where when you look, and if you're, say you're just super, super bullish on Cincinnati. I mean, like, it's going to be Burrow or Chase, right? You could put in a ticket on both. And
yeah.
Like, that would just be, it's going to be one of the two. So it's, you just put in a ticket on one of those two guys. And
TJ Uzomah's not winning the MVP.
Yeah. Like, yes.
Yeah, doubt it.
Uzomah's not, it ain't happening with Uzomah.
I think the one that, I was talking to a friend about this the other day, Matt, with just the, you know, people like us that have Rams tickets, like a way to hedge. You know, you might this week want to take a little bit of piece of Patrick Mahomes at a bigger number. Then, you know, they're going to be favorites in a Rams Chiefs Super Bowl. The Chiefs would be favorites. You'd be laying a money line of -140/-150 or whatever that would be in that game. So you could take a piece of him at +180 or whatever this week and have that in your pocket if you wanted to do that. Could be a way of hedging around some of those tickets.
By the way, not only will TJ Uzomah not win it, but CJ Uzomah won't either.
And the reason I say when I say, like, people are going to be like, well, what about, you know, Joe Mixon? Also, the reason I say that definitively is the only reason is because so they're going to play either the 49ers or the Rams. Both of those two teams have very good run defenses, and the easier way to go about those teams would be throwing the ball against them, right? So if Cincinnati wins the Super Bowl, which you have to win the Super Bowl to win the MVP. If they win it, it's going to be throwing the ball. It's going to be through the air. It's not going to be a Joe Mixon running for a ton of yards, because you can't run on either one of, you know, on the Niners or the Rams.
And Good call.
Yeah, yep. That's why I was saying that so definitively before without any explanation. Let me give some context to that as well.
Here's also, for those who are curious about how the 55 previous Super Bowls have broken down by position, for MVP, 31 of the 55 have been quarterbacks. four out of the last five, by the way, as well. Seven have been wide receivers, including the one that was not a quarterback the last 5 years, Julian Edelman, if you recall, was MVP against the Rams in that, was that 17-3 or 13-3, whatever
it was. I believe
I
cashed a 50-1 ticket on him that year.
Oh, did you?
Yes,
really?
Yes, yes.
Seven have been running backs, but not since Terrell Davis of the Broncos. Like, almost a quarter century ago has a running back won MVP in the Super Bowl. That's amazing.
When was that, 97?
Yeah, Super Bowl 32, so yes, that would be 98, January of 98. Nine defensive players. Last one was Vaughn Miller of the Broncos versus the Panthers. And one kick returner, Desmond Howard, who did it with the Packers against the Patriots. But 31 have been quarterbacks. So that's what makes this year interesting, because I don't think the quarterback is necessarily the default that it always has been.
Well, especially when you have guys like Chase, yeah, guys like Kupp, guys like Debo, or a guy like Tyreek, wherein they could have these. I mean, we just saw Cooper Kupp just had a 9-catch, 189-yard touchdown with a touchdown game. We've seen Jamar Chase have multiple, you know, 6-7 catches, 100 and some odd yards and touchdown games. So, like, you can have that one super, super dominant guy for each of these players, as opposed to where it's like, you know, Stafford could throw only for – there is a very likely scenario in which Stafford throws for 255 and 160 of those go to Cooper Kupp, right? To where it's like the numbers aren't eye-popping for Stafford, but for Cooper Kupp they'd be incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. This might be more of a bettable market this year than in years past.
That's why I bring it up.
Yeah, good point.
That's why I bring it up.
You know, now Joe Burrow typically does, when he has these super high passing games, like, more than one guy typically does get his fair share, but the guy that gets the lion's share is typically Chase, so I still think you lean there for sure. And then on the Mahomes side of things, you know, yeah, Kelsey can get his for sure, but I think with Mahomes, again, if he has a 400-something yard game, it's typically Tyreek's going to have 150.
I still think, just because of his name almost, they'd be the toughest team for the quarterback not to win it.
For Mahomes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a good point. Hill could still have a massive game, and yeah, he could win.
Parlay this morning, when we were talking about this, he was like, what are the kickers? He said, the kicker's never won, by the way. Robbie Gould was like 500-1. You figure if like the Niners won a low-scoring game where he like kicked 350-yarders,
maybe
won to win.
Maybe McPherson could just call every one of his kicks for the rest of the next two games. Yeah. Then, yeah.
Don't do that. Don't bet on the kicker. We'll come back. We will look at most rushing yards and most receiving yards for the playoffs as a whole, and we'll update where those are in the leaderboard right now. Next.
You are looking live at primetime action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN's got a great new offer to help make this your best betting year ever. Our all-new Big Game Big Dance special, providing VSiN Plus all access to everything we do from now through April 5th for only $69. Sign up now and get our daily best bet emails, 24/7 video access, the upcoming Big Game and College Hoops betting guides, plus full access to VSiN.com with our exclusive betting split breakdowns on every game. It's one of the most exciting betting seasons of the year. I believe so. So don't miss out on one of our best deals of the year. It's only logical. Visit VSiN.com/bigdeal to sign up today.
8710 Canadian. 8710 Canadian.
You are on top of it. On top of it.
Dollar strong.
It was 86-something yesterday, right?
Yeah. Why does a food smell randomly waft into this studio?
Let me explain the physics of our studio and how it works around here for you, Gil. Every once in a while, I think when it gets busy over at the Steak and Shake, you know, it just kind of gets a little smoky with that meat smoke coming over from the hamburger
meat
grills.
Smoke.
That meat smoke, that's right. And somehow we have ventilation in here where I think it just kind of sneaks its way in. It could be worse. You could be getting cigarettes in here all day long.
I was going to say, our sense of smell is keen in here.
It's very keen.
Yeah.
It's funny how we all notice it. Like, when it hits us like a brick wall.
Because the Steak and Shake is about a sand wedge from here.
Yeah, oh, like that, yeah.
No,
I mean, a good sand. Little sandy. Little sandy.
And a good sand wedge over a couple slot machines.
You got to really get some loft on it. Otherwise, you
got to make sure you go around the escalator up to the movie theater. But yeah.
This place is amazing, by the way. If you've never been to the South Point, full full legit multiplex movie theater upstairs.
Yeah.
Full legit full breath bowling alley upstairs.
Things that I never use, and when I do, I remember that they're there.
Yeah, and we never think about it, but we're like, it's amazing. It's a whole world up there.
I went to a movie up there like 2 weeks ago for the first time in like 2.5 years, and I thought the same thing, Gil. I was like, this is a beautiful movie theater up here that I never go to.
I've never been to one. Not to mention the meat smoke from the Steak and Shake, apparently.
And the best food deal in town.
Look at it. Look at that majestic hotel.
That's right.
Purple sky.
Best food deal in town. I'm telling you, when you come to Vegas for a weekend and you maybe do things like I do where you maybe had a few too many drinks, you hit the craps table, by the end of night two, you've spent almost every dollar you have. You come to the South Point and get $1.25 hot dogs for lunch. That will save you. Save your whole trip.
That'll save you, is right.
Delicious hot dogs.
Dude. Really delicious. Who doesn't love a hot dog? I'll tell you, Jonathan Von Tobel, if he has too many of them at once. Legendary content.
Yeah, he's probably never going to have another one of those. I'm never going to be able to drink eggnog again. We ruin things around here.
I think we'll get you on the eggnog challenge again next year.
I love eggnog. I didn't have a single sip of it all holidays because of that.
I'm just going to tell you, I think we get you back on.
When's that kicking challenge happening for reals? When is that happening?
It's too cold, man.
Yeah, we're going in the summertime. Okay. When content's a little slower.
It's too cold. You know?
And it's going to be too warm. I mean, it's going to be an excuse for everything.
It'd be too warm.
It can never get too warm. Like,
Matt's weird. It's never too warm.
110, that would be perfect.
That's like, 115. Yeah. This is awesome.
We have Matt Brown and Matt Humans, who are like two of the weirdest individuals I've ever met in my life when it comes to temperature. Matt Humans will go golf every day during the summer because he prefers like 115 degrees over like 70 degrees, which is too cold for him.
Between the intense heat exposure and the rampant fast food consumption, he is a medical marvel.
It's very impressive. It's amazing. It's very impressive.
It's amazing. Odds to have the most receiving yards in the playoffs. How was that for a segue, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
Odds to have the most receiving yards in the playoffs. So here's the dilly. So this is the on the right side of the screen. Those are the current number of receiving yards that each of these folks in the market have. So Cooper Kupp, as you see, is the leader after that performance this past Sunday against the Bucks. 244. Tyreek's got 207. Travis Kelce has 204. Kels. Ja'Marr Chase has 225. So he is actually second in the total leaderboard right now. T. Higgins, 106. Odell Beckham Jr., 123. Those two far behind. But then you'll see the associated odds. So the reason that I said Ja'Marr Chase fourth is because he's actually, despite having the second most yards right now, 19 yards behind Kupp, he's at 4-1. But Kupp is the favorite at -125. Reek, +250. Kels, 3-1. Ja'Marr 4-1, and T. Higgins and Odell Beckham Jr. both at 40-1 with a lot of ground to gain.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with Kupp is that it's priced appropriately unless you believe that they are going to just destroy the 49ers, which I don't think anybody believes that.
Yeah.
Because Sean McVay has shown that he will just turtle up and go into preserve the win mode or something, and so you would just have to pray that somewhere along the way of them crushing the 49ers that Cooper Kupp didn't get 185 yards or something along the way. But that would be the only thing. Would be like you would have to just project that Cooper Kupp and the Rams destroy the Niners with somehow that happening without Cooper Kupp being a major factor in all that. And so that's just too many dots to connect.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting market to me because I kind of think, because of what you just said, Matt, like I think Kupp's kind of unbettable. I mean, plus you're just talking, let's just look at the two games this week, right? One's a 7-point spread, one's a 3-point spread, right? So it's, sorry, but that, you know, the Rams could much more easily be upset, according to the sports books at least. So you'd have to be very confident that the Rams are going to be, you know, just not only that Kupp's going to end up winning this, but the Rams are going to get past this week and play in the Super Bowl.
Well, that's the problem with Chase, right? It's like he could very well have the most yards this week, but they lose.
Is he going to win the game? Are they going to win the game?
Right? I mean, like Cincinnati could get down a ton, and he could end up with a 200-yard game because they're just Burrow has to throw 55 times or something, but they don't advance, and so your ticket is no good.
Yeah, if you like the Niners and the Chiefs this weekend somehow, like I don't throwing a few bucks on Hill and Kelce in this market, I don't think it's a bad bet at all.
Because just to clarify, this will extend through the Super Bowl,
right?
So that's the thing, right? You gotta dovetail it with your handicap as to who gets there, what that matchup will be like, all of the above. Not something I think I would bet.
No. No. If somebody was like, here, you have to make one of these bets.
Yes.
Like, you have to, then I would just – I would play Tyreek Hill.
Just for the heck of it.
On principle. Right. Yeah, I mean, it's –
Plus 250 versus plus 250, minus 125.
Yeah, versus minus 125.
How about rushing? We'll do the same for rushing. Elijah Mitchell of the Niners. How many people do you think realize this? That Elijah Mitchell has gained the most yards on the ground in the postseason thus far. 149. Cam Akers, who Sean McVay is obsessed with, 103. Joe Mixon, 102. Debo's got 111.
Now, this one's actually interesting.
This is interesting because Debo's plus 750.
And if you believe the Rams win, you're getting Akers at 4.5.
Yeah. And the Chiefs. By the way, was it you, Kelly, who said this? I think you said this because it resonated. And I think about it every time I see Jerick McKinnon touch the football now. When did Jerick McKinnon become this guy?
Where did this come from? Like, why is he such a weapon for them all of a sudden now the past, like, 3 weeks?
He wasn't like this before he became a Chief.
Right. I don't know.
Now he's this, like, completely fast.
You know what else it is? It's one of those number things, right? That only wears number one.
Oh,
like he looks
sleek.
He looks smaller than I remember him, but he's like looks quicker, looks faster. I don't know. It's odd.
That's a thing, by the way, that we never talk about. When guys switch uniforms, how they appear. Like, who was the dude? Pierre Garçon. Pierre Garçon, when he went from the Colts to Washington, he went from like this little receiver. It's the first time he put on a Washington uniform. I was like, oh my God, he's the biggest receiver I've ever seen in my life. It's so funny that happens with certain people. Anyway, those are the odds here.
This one I think is obvious. I would bet Akers if I had to make one of the bets just because
plus 450
I think the Rams
juicy.
Win.
Yeah.
They get to advance and
Sean McVay's
he doesn't even
obsessed
have to be all
him.
That efficient, right? I mean, like he could only get 58 yards in this one and then get another, you know, 50 something in the.
Yeah, but you don't think they like he wisens up at all and plays, goes to Michelle a little bit more this week?
I mean, that's why it's priced.
I think so too. I think you have to take that into account. I mean, he sure was in love with him all throughout that game last week. So it would be a little weird, I guess,
He didn't lose confidence in him when he fumbled on the 1 yard line, which would have put that game
out.
Over.
Yeah.
Like that game would have been donezo. Then I don't know. I can't imagine he's going to magically fall out of love with him this week. But
I actually think I might take a flyer on Debo. And I know we have Rams futures, but Debo, if I was just landing on this right now, I'd think to myself, you know, they could win that game on Sunday, and this dude could break any run. He's got the biggest game-breaking potential of any of these players, any of them on the board right here. So at plus 750, I think I might take a shot there. And he's at 111, right? So he's the next person up there to Elijah Mitchell, his teammate. But again, not something I would bet. I don't think. But if you made me, I'd go Debo.
I think if I had to, I'd go Akers, but I don't think this one is I don't think this one's all that great.
If
Mahomes being 750 is ridiculous.
I was gonna say if the Bills were
yards he's ever run
so
for.
Silly,
that's the most yards he's ever run for in his career this past week.
If the Bills were still alive, Josh Allen would be interesting to see where he popped up on this list. But one would have to think he would probably be second in this. But we'll never know, because he ain't in it.
Oh, Josh Allen. Feels so bad
Feels
for that
so bad for that dude. Laid it all
so
out there.
Good. He was so good.
Oh, jeez. I feel bad for that fan base, and I'll say it again. You never know in the NFL. You're like, oh, he'll be back. You never know.
I sent you the thing. He didn't do all he could do. He could have called heads.
Come on, Josh Allen. Oh, boy. What a game. What a weekend. We'll come back. Australian Open thoughts as the quarters wind down tonight. It's VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hunt down a win with the Football Showdown Series presented by Amazon Prime Video's Reacher. Play free fantasy football during the playoffs and fight for your share of $20,000 in total cash prizes. Head to DraftKings.com/JackReacher now to get in on the action. Terms and conditions and other eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Gil, Matt, and Kelly. The Clippers have cut it to 24. Make that 23, Oh, boy, it's getting tight.
Nice. The Lakers up on the Nets, start of the third quarter here, 62-53. And for all the Laker fans out there, I'm gonna say one thing. The season could be a lot worse, if it was not for a guy named Malik Monk, who is basically the only guy who could score on this team outside of, not named LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, or Anthony Davis, who is back in the lineup tonight. He has 8 points, 3 blocks. For Anthony Davis coming back strong. But Malik Monk, 16 points in the first half to lead the way for the Lakers.
Duke, 11.5-point pre-flop favorites at home against Clemson, tied.
On the ropes, right?
At 65 with 2:55 left in this one. Clemson had just gone up a bucket, and Duke just tied it back up. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. That would be something. Down on Krzyzewski Street.
Yeah, it would be. I do have one bet tonight in the NBA. It's later tonight. It is in the late TNT game, Dallas and Golden State. I played the under on this game. Under 211.5 is where I got it at. Dallas, over the past month, this is the best defense in the NBA. Defense efficiency-wise, they are number one. Golden State sitting at number two. And both these offenses are struggling. We've seen notably the struggles from Steph Curry in that on the offensive side of the ball over the past few games. So under 211.5, pretty low total in the NBA these days, but I thought it was worth a stab there tonight. So that's my only bet of the evening.
Okay, good. Let's talk some tennis for a little bit. Australian Open, down under, in Melbourne. Gael Monfils was the pick yesterday. It loses in 5 sets. Monfils just got rolled in the 5th set. To Matteo Berrettini, so the plus 140 dog does not get home. And we've reached the point now, the second half of the quarters, where I have to tell you, the lines on the sides, pretty accurate, all of them. Tonight, by the way, Danielle freaking Collins just got her way to the semifinals. She beat Alizé Cornet. How would you like to be named Alizé Cornet?
That's a pretty sweet name.
Alizé.
Yeah, I like it.
That's a pretty
like
cool
it.
Name. But freaking Collins is headed to the semis.
And Matty Keys gets it done convincingly yesterday.
Yes.
Convincingly.
Against Barbora Krejcikova.
3-2. I mean, that was a convincing win. And then, so, I mean, Ash Barty just destroyed Pegula.
Ash Barty.
Like, just a demolition.
Yeah. I mean, all those lines are justified, including, I would say, all the ones on the side tonight. Jannik Sinner is a minus 140 favorite against Stefanos Tsitsipas. The numbers actually bear that out, believe it or not. Medvedev, you know, late into the night, minus 800 against Ogier Aliassime. Yeah, it's about right. Nadal, justified as a minus 185 favorite over Berrettini in the semis. That's tomorrow. Lady side, tonight, Swiatek, minus 400 against the Estonian Kaia Kanepi. Pretty right. And Ash Barty in the semis tomorrow, minus 525 against Matty Keys. As great as Matty Keys is playing now, might this one be a little bloated on Barty?
I don't expect it to get home, but if someone said they wanted to play her at 350, I wouldn't be like, that's the worst thing in the world.
Right. Like, I could see a justification, because Matty Keys' really short-term numbers are pretty darn good. But Barty, she doesn't lose a match. She doesn't lose a set. She doesn't get broken. And Amanda Anisimova finally broke her consecutive streak of not getting broken. Broke her once in that match. But the only bet I have, by the way, I did take the over in games in the Sinner Tsitsipas match, which is starting at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific. Actually, it might be 10 and 7. No, I mean, let's say it's 11 or an 8, I believe. 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. Something. Or it's tonight. It's after this show.
Yeah, it's 11. I think it's, yeah.
Where is that on the graphic?
Yeah. I don't know if the graphic is right. But I took the over in game. I took 39.5. Over 39.5 at minus 120.
11 Eastern.
And essentially, that bet is that there's not a straight set win here. You're looking for a fourth set. And by the way, the 4 sets can't be like 6-2, 6-3 the whole way either. So 4 competitive sets of tennis at the very least. And we look to cash
at
that one.
And with that one, at least for the people on the West Coast, with it starting at 8, if you want to tune in and kind of see one of these guys that may kind of rise to that next level, be one of the stars on the tour, like we were saying, I mean, Jannik Sinner's 20 in a couple months. You know, he just turned 20, I think, at the end of 2020. So 20 years old and I think 3 or 4 months old. And just, you know, tons and tons and tons of talent, super young, can still develop into what I think could be one of the real, you know, perennial stars on tour here. We always say that, though. We see these guys at 19, 20, 21 and say, man, if they can just take that next step, and then it just never really gets there a lot of times. But if you want to tune in and see one of those guys, I mean, it's so great. I think he could be – he's one of the only ones here in a while where I'm kind of like, I think he could be that guy. Like, I kind of think he could be that guy.
Yeah. I mean, well, I mean, look, we said it about Team, and we said it about Zverev, and we said it about all these guys. Team has won one major. Zverev has won none. Medvedev is really the only guy that has cracked with his one major that you could definitely put him in the group of greats, I think. He will be there for sure. But Sinner has all the talent in the world. Sinner should get there. But these guys, the big three, that I mean, at least, you know, in the case of Nadal and Djokovic, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
It's like, what did John Isner say the one time? He's like, what do you... He's like, how do you feel about your career? He goes, well, if those guys would stop being so greedy.
The best thing for Sinner is that, like, 5 years from now they'll be gone, and he'll only be 25.
Yes, he's like, got that going for him.
That's, like, the best thing going for him.
Yeah, Sinner is Sinner and Korda, I think, are the great young ones right now in the game. But Shapovalov, he really seems to have – the switch finally seems to be clicking for Denis Shapovalov, who lost to Rafa Nadal in 5 sets last night. Yeah. Oh, man. But Medvedev at minus 125, to me, that's still a good price to win all of this. Minus 125 is still a good price on Daniil Medvedev at this point, halfway through the quarters. He's already in the semis.
Korda really going to be that good? Like, right. This family's just this good at sports. It's incredible.
By the way, Medvedev's still in the quarters, pardon me. Yes, that family is still. Well, Sebastian Korda and Nelly Korda's dad played professional tennis, Peter Korda. So it's kind of in their blood.
Gotcha.
The DNA, the genetics, if you will. Duke up 2 with 38.6 seconds left. 69-67.
James Harden trying to bring the Nets back. They have cut the Lakers lead to 6. 69-63 Lakers, 7:18 left in the third quarter. James Harden has 25 points. 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, and 5 turnovers. But he's doing basically everything for Brooklyn. As there's some reports coming out that he's not very happy with the whole Kyrie part-time playing situation.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Starting to leak out of the Brooklyn camp.
Really? Because he was so nonchalant about it before.
It was the whole, apparently the whole, hey, I came here to play on a super team. I could have done what I'm doing now back in Houston. Which is, it's fair.
He's kind of right. Especially now with KD hurt, it's all magnified. Yeah.
I mean, you look at a box score like that, I mean, nobody else is in double-digit points. LaMarcus Aldridge is the next best with 9. He's doing everything for this team.
Clip show cut it to 20 towards the end of the third quarter. Does Clemson have the ball or does Duke have the ball? I'm curious. Let's see what Clemson can do here. So anyway, the Clippers won.
Sorry, Gil. This is not even more ridiculous. The Kings are stuck on 33 with 9 minutes left to go in the third quarter.
Oh my God.
That game is 73-33 with 9 minutes left in the third.
Wait, who are they playing?
At Boston. They're at the Celtics.
Yes. 9 minutes left in the third. They are shooting 20% from the field, 9% from three.
What?
9%
They keep putting them up.
33 points. What is this, high school?
Can we get that up on a screen? I would love to see this.
20% from the floor and 9% from three.
33 points with 9 minutes left in the third?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Buddy Hield, 2 of 10. Mitchell, 1 of 9. Barnes, 1 of 10. Bagley, 1 of 3. Halliburton, 0 of 7.
Over.
Harkless, 0 of 3. This is amazing. This is amazing. Wow.
28 for Jaylen Brown. 24 for Jason Tatum.
I maintain what I say. This happens in the NBA now way more than it used to.
How many nights have we been in here now and seen?
Oh.
Have we seen at 340 plus point leads during nights?
100%.
I think it's the third night we've seen that this year.
These margins get to like 20 and 30 in no time now. Duke with the rock up 2. 30 seconds left. 9 second discrepancy between the game clock and the shot clock. And we're not going to get there. We're going to get to a commercial first. But let's see what Duke does this with this last possession. They're just going to dribble out as much of the shot clock as they can before they do anything. little probe, little inbounds pass, shot, score, Duke up four, pretty much ball game with 10.6 seconds left as Clemson frantically comes down court. Stop, pop, three, no good. Duke's going to win it. Clemson, follow-up three, no good. We're coming back. Beeson's Primetime Act.